This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 17 من شهر رمضان المبارك 1445 الموافق ل 28 من شهر مارس 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين So last درس We were talking about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ So I guess we talk about this ayah. And we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah to remind people about His blessings upon them so that inshallah they will reflect and come back to Him. Because if Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is to be understood correctly, it would definitely lead to Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. You know, there is no point of believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, but at the same time the person is rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right to be worshipped alone. It doesn't work. You know.
It's not working. No video in the audio.
It does. Okay, just
okay,
that's okay. It's fine. So, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu dhanbi a'zam? He said, Ya Rasulullah, which sin is the greatest sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالَ تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ He says, is to associate, partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created you. أَيُّ الذَّنْبِ أَعْظَمْ قَالَ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ He says, just to make you partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is shirk. وَخَلَقَكَ Link to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. He said, Allah created you, and then you are part of Him. It doesn't go. It doesn't make sense. And this is the greatest sin. قَالَ قُلْتُ ثُمَّ أَيُّ And then he said, I said, Ya Rasulullah, and then what? قَالَ خَشْيَةَ أَنْ يَطْعَمَ مَعَكَ He says, to kill your child out of the fear of this child becoming you, eating your food, you know. Yeah. People kill the fear that might be in the future other purposes also. Mazen, maybe we need your Wi-Fi if you have, you know, because this one is so we come useless. Goes and comes. Yes? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, thumma ayyu, and then which sin is following the shirk? قَالَ أَن تَقْتُلَ وَلَدَكَ خَشْيَةَ أَن يَطْعَمَ مَعَكَ أَوْ مَخَافَةَ أَن يَطْعَمَ مَعَكَ To kill your child. For whatever reason. This is the second worst sin that somebody does to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, thumma ayyu. And then what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, An tuzaniya halilata jarik. To commit zina with the wife of your neighbor. So you can see these three sins are those mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan when he talks about Ibadur Rahman. He says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَا اللَّهِ إِلَهًا أَخْرٍ. Those who are not calling anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And they don't kill any soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prohibited except with justification. And this justification is given to the authority, not us. Yeah, when somebody kills, he should be killed. You know, these are the justifications. When somebody commits zina and he is already muhsan, he should be killed. These are the justifications. When somebody left his religion, these are the justifications. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And also, they don't commit zina. وَمَا يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. You can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the three sins mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned that these three things are the root of the ma'asi. The root of the ma'asi are these three things. قَالَ تَعَلُّقُ الْقَلْبِ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. See, the root of ma'asi that everyone is doing in this dunya is based on these three things. Number one, ta'alluqul qalbi bi ghayrillah. The heart to be connected to other than Allah. That's number one. Having the heart being connected to other than Allah. What is that? Shirk. And in all of its forms, whether major, minor, riya, whatever, you know. The heart of a person is attached to other than Allah. This is the worst thing to be done, you know. Number two, al-quwwa al-ghadbaniyya, submitting to anger, the force and the power of the anger. You know, and under this you have murder, you know, anything that is a result of getting angry, you know, is under this. Al-quwwa al-ghadbaniyya, you have murder, and the issues of qisas and all of those things. You know. Number three, al-quwwa al-shahwaniyya, the force of desire, the force of the desire. So you have ta'alluq al-qalbi bi ghayrillah, and you have al-quwwa al-ghadbaniyya, and you have al-quwwa al-shahwaniyya, the force of the desire. And you have the vast majority of the sins actually here. Riba, bribe, theft, you know, backbiting. Yeah, and what else? Zina, you know, all of those things that are based on desire, they are under this. So it's good to know these things because if you are to monitor, you know, your activities within the lens of this, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you'll be able to stay away from the vast majority of the sins. And you always be conscious. You know, you always be conscious. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, the worst type of shirk, sin is the shirk. And then killing somebody that is not halal, you know, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses killing the children in any of the forms. In the past, they used to kill them after they come out, focusing on the daughters. In the present, worse. You know, almost everything is worse, you know. The past, they're a bit lesser than our time. Before, they used to kill sisters. Yeah, they used to kill sisters. خَشْيَةَ الْعَارِ. You know, they used to kill them خَشْيَةَ الْعَارِ. So that they will not have, you know, the shame in the future, you know, because they think having a girl in the house bring shame to the family. And it's not good to have a girl. Yeah. And nowadays, they kill them. By destroying that shame which those ones they are afraid of, it getting into trouble. You see how worse is our situation? Yeah, although she's alive, but she's dead. You Allah, if a father exposed her to anything that will take her, you know, shyness and modesty, that's worse than death. If they do understand, that's worse than death. So, and you have also the abortion. That's why in Islam, abortion is haram. Haram, haram. Full stop. Yeah. The only time the scholars consider a bit is when there is a confirmation by our trusted doctors that this woman, if we don't remove the pregnancy, she might die. Based on experience, she cannot survive with him. And the most important thing is that pregnancy is at the very early stages, during the time of the sperm. She just conceived now, within those 40 days. And then the problem was it, you know, we are going to lose her. The scholar said, okay, no problem. If this is the case, you know, and the mother agrees and the husband agrees, they can go for that because it's just a sperm. Although it exists as a pregnancy, but life of the mother is now better because that one doesn't have a life at the first place. Keeping the one who is alive is more important than keeping the one that we don't know whether he will live or not. And still you have some scholars who said no. Allah says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ إِلَىٰ قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Allah says, we put him in that place, in a very strong and firmly established place. That's the womb. The womb is very strong, strong, strong. Yeah, those who deal with C-section, they can tell you this. Yeah, very strong place. And all this for the benefit of humankind to be protected. Yeah, and in return, we don't do what we are supposed to be doing. So Allah says, we put him in that place. They said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ هُنَاكَ بِجَعْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّوْجَلِ. The baby is there because Allah put him in that place. So it is wrong for somebody to change that position. Allah said, we put him. And then you come and take him out. They said, that's wrong. However, wallahu alam, the closest opinion, if you can have the conditions to be confirmed, which are very difficult, honestly speaking. Because in most instances, these are all assumptions of the medical doctors. They're all assumptions. And based on that, we legalize the murder of so many babies. And they do it nowadays. They have places which are specialized in this. They can kill the baby even if everything is there. Everything is there. You know, you become a human being just waiting for the time to come out. Alive, you know, playing games, you know, and all of this. They still kill. They have machines to cut the baby into pieces, and she takes something to melt it, and then she just passes it just like the urine. Uzu billah. Shayateen. Wallahi shayateen. Devils. Devils. Allah says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The scholars said, when the child has a soul, you know, that's after 120 days. Some scholars said after 80 days, because there are some nusus that are showing that after 80 days, most likely the soul has been killed. They said after those 80 days, some scholars. But I believe the closest one is the one that says after 120 days. In this case, even if all the medical doctors, all of them on earth, the kuffar and the atheists, then the munafiqeen, the muslimin, the corrupt, you know, all of them gather in a place and told us that this sister has 1 minute to live. We tell them, you are not Rabbul Alameen. Yeah. Life is sacred. We value the life of the mother so much. And we value the life of the child also. Because when he has a soul, then now he's a human being that has a right to live. And in Islam, we have this general concept that says the life of somebody is not better than the life of another person. If somebody threaten you, you know, And you know that this guy is useless enough, you know, to kill. And he told you, if you don't do this, I will kill you. The scholar said, you can do everything, including saying the word of shirk or acting the action of shirk, but your heart is full of iman, to save your life. You're permitted to do that. Everything. Only some scholars said zina cannot. Because they said zina, you cannot do it unless if you have interest. So when they force you and the person does the zina, that means he... But the vast majority of the scholars said, no, that's useless. Yeah, a person is threatened. He knows that if he doesn't do, he is almost sure that he will be killed. He said, it's okay, because even if he forced himself to have interest to do whatever they ask him so that he can save his life, this is fine. Except one thing, which is to kill somebody. This one, no way it can be permissible. They tell you, if you don't kill this person, we will kill you. What must you do? Kill him to survive? No. If you kill him, the government, the Muslim government, are supposed to kill both of you. The one who asked you to kill and you also. It doesn't count in the aqal, you know, and in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're forced by somebody to kill another person. That means you are valuing your life more than his. So both are going to be killed according to the best opinion of the scholars. This one, you have to be patient. Since he's going to kill, what must you do? Just fight him back. Yeah, if he kills you, no problem. Then you're not just a Jaban, you know? That's why I said, always be like a cat. Did you ever chase a cat?
Yes.
For how long? And nothing happened? For sure, it's just for a few seconds. No, can catch the cat, but keep chasing the cat. No, don't do, and then get into trouble and say, I'm the one who was. Cat usually, when you chase it, it will run. But when you put in the corner, and now no way to escape, nothing left except to just jump back on you. And that's good behavior, you know? Be peaceful. But you have no any other way to escape, you know? Just jump back. You die, alhamdulillah, you die as a brave person. And the Prophet ﷺ said, where do you go? Jannah. He says, Ya Rasulullah, if this guy comes to me and asks me to give him my wealth, should I give? He said, no, don't give. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what if he fights me? He said, fight him back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what if he kills me? He said, go to paradise. What if I kill him? He said, he goes to hell. Yeah, the only problem with this is how to convince the government that this guy comes to attack you. That's all you, but Islamically you have no problem. Actually, you are supposed to be praised. The government, if they know that, yes, this guy is a criminal, they should reward you and tell you, well done. Yeah, for saving the community from this evil person. This is our Sharia. In the Western community, for those of you who are studying law, maybe you might come across, if somebody finds somebody committing zina with his wife, waliyadhu billah, in their place, if the husband fight, and that guy also come, and he killed the husband, that guy is okay, fine, because he's defending himself. A'udhu billah. And they think there was life, you know? And you have some Muslims thinking that life is there. We don't have life with us. So in Islam, to kill somebody, is not permissible in all circumstances unless in those few situations that Sharia says is okay. Is that clear, inshallah? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and tawfiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَيْدُونَ. So you get the hukum of the abortion, right? Because up to date, you know, people are asking from time to time. It's very simple. Life is valuable in the eyes of the Sharia and cannot be taken. As long as somebody has a soul, it doesn't matter. Where does he live? He lives inside the womb. He's outside. It doesn't matter. Islam protects the right of that person also. You cannot say, no. We have heard them a lot, you know. So we leave them. If the mother died, who to be blamed?
Doctor.
No. Who killed her? Rabbul Alameen took her life. You know, if she dies and the baby die, who kill her? Rabbul Alameen. You know. But if we kill the baby, who is responsible? Us. And we have to pay the diya also. Why is it the diya? Because it's wrong to do it. And when we're doing it, we're doing it intentionally. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً وَمَن يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. One of the worst things that even some of the companions believe that there is no kafara for it, no tawbah. If somebody does it, he will go to hell forever, is murder. That's why live a life without having this, you know, problem in your account. Abdullah ibn Umar said, he said, إِنَّ مِنْ وَرْطَاتِ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي لَا مَخْرَجَ لِمَنْ أَوْقَعَ نَفْسَهُ فِيهَا سَفْكَ الدَّمِ الْحَرَامِ. He said, one of the most critical situations that whoever gets inside, there is no way out for him, is to shed the blood that is not halal. That's in Sahih Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Umar says, one of the worst things you can do, which if you get inside, it will be very difficult for you to go out, is this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَزَالُ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي فُسْحَةٍ مِّن دِينِهِ مَا لَمْ يُصِبْ دَمًا حَرَامًا. You keep on having respite, and the chances for you to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are always there, as long as you don't shed the blood of a believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا, you know, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ سَفْكِ الدَّمِ الْمُسْلِمِ. Or كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, to have the dunya, to everything in the dunya is gone. He said, that's much easier in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than shedding the blood of a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So any person, you know, those sisters who are going through some difficulties, but at the end of the day they have the pregnancy with them, they are considering aborting because of the fear of difficulty, I will advise them to be patient, you know, to be patient. Next time, take a lot of precautions, you know, to do everything possible not to let it happen. However, when it happens, you know, sabr, patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own ways, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, to make you happy and to make life easy for you. قال وكذلك حديث معاذ أتدري ما حق الله على عباده قال أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم with معاذ, يقول معاذ رضي الله عنه كنت رديف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who was رديف? Somebody who was riding behind you on a horse, you know. So that shows that two people can be on a donkey. You cannot say, well, this is donkey, we are harming the donkey. You know? Being a donkey doesn't mean you should torture it. It's halal. As long as the donkey can handle, as long as the horse can handle, yeah, it's okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, that means it is fine for us to do. He said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Mu'adh, atadri ma haqqullahi ala al-ibad? You know Mu'adh ibn Jabal, right? Yeah. What do you know about him?
Leader of the scholars.
Huh? Leader of the scholars. No. Where? In the hereafter. We lead in people. But here, of course, we have Abu Bakr, we have Umar. They're more knowledgeable than, you know. Those one lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout their life. You know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Mu'adh, yub'ath yawm al-qiyamati imam al-ulama'i watrah, I forgot the lafz. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will be resurrected in front of the scholars with this length, you know. The gap between him, the distance between him and the rest of the scholars is as far as you can see. That's how they interpret the word. So that shows, you know, subhanAllah, and how much he has of knowledge. And he mentioned that he used to be the reference, the companions, although he was young, but he used his time properly. Yeah, he really used his time properly. So he said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, Ya Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah over his creation? He says, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. He says, Allah and his messenger know better. You know, sometimes the companions, many times actually, they don't like to make any ijtihad out of the hope that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give them something new. Because if they already answer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, well done, that's it. But if they keep quiet, let him answer, you know, then they will get something new. Yeah. Because he says, Ayyo min hada, which day is this? Is it possible that nobody amongst them knows which day is this? They kept quiet. You know? They said, Hatta dhananna annahu sayasammihi bighayri ismi. We started to think that he's going to call the name which other than that. Ayyu baladin hada? He's asking them, which city is this? And they were in Makkah. Who doesn't know Makkah? They keep quiet, you know, because they want him to answer that so that they can get more knowledge. You know? And they really got what they're looking for. You know? So he said, do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his creation? قال الله ورسوله أعلم. He said, Allah أعلم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the right of Allah upon his creation, and يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يَشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, to worship him without associating partner with him. And do you know what is the right of the creation upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Mu'adh said, I don't know. Now this one is fine, because there is no way for us to have a right over Allah. But those right, he made them right upon himself. Yeah, he said, this is your right. Allah make them like that. Not because we have right. Allah, we don't have a single right. It doesn't even work in the aql, you know, that we have right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't go. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we do have a right over him. Subhanallah. That's your Rabb. They said you do have a right over him. And what is that right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah yu'adhiba man la yushrika bihi shay'a. Not to punish that person who is not associating partner with him. Mu'adh was so happy to hear this. He said, Rasulullah, can I share with people? He said, no. La tukhbirhum fayattakilu. He said, do not tell them because they will do the ittikal. Ittikal means, I know that if I say la ilaha illallah, that's it. And then the Qiyam al-Layl, cancel. Yeah, there are some people, don't tell them some things, you know. Ya Allah, it should be quiet. Let them live a very good life. Because if they know, they will cancel all the extra activities which they are doing, and they will go and get into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, because the wajib is going to be deficient somehow. And they don't have something to back it up. Yeah. That's why you have to be smart. Some discipline, some knowledge, you know, a person, you just keep quiet. Give him what he needs. And tell him that's it. And other people, when they come, you give them everything. Because you know these ones, although they know this, but it will just help them to have increase in righteousness. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do we have some of them who are given Jannah? A lot, right? A lot of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Jannah. What happens after that?
They increase
their worship. And they have a fear of getting into trouble when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cry a lot, you know. Why are we crying? No, I don't know. Or be my situation. Yeah. Never took it for granted. Nowadays, that batil sheikh gave him a key, the normal key there, right? Metal key, very huge, you know. Tell him, this is your key to paradise. And the guy stopped praying. Seriously, Lord. No prayer, no fasting, no anything. Because he has the key. We'll tell you, why do you go to the masjid? To get Jannah. I already have the key. Yeah. Those ones, Rasulullah gave them. Nowadays, a corrupt person is giving him the key. Corrupt, Allah. That person is shaitan. Giving him the key, and he thinks everything is fine, you know. In those days, Rasulullah told them, you're going to Jannah, but still, they became more dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the one who places things in their proper place. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Mu'adh, do not tell them, because they might do itikal, meaning they will stay away from the extra activities which they are doing, and they're beneficial, you know, for them. They will stay away from doing them because they already have this. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he informed people about this before his death. خَشْيَةَ التَّأَثُّمْ, out of the fear of committing sin by living this life without informing them what Rasulullah ﷺ told him. But throughout his life, he did not share with people. You know, he started sharing with people before death. He died in Ta'un and Muwas, in Sham, during that plague that claimed the life of almost 20,000 people amongst the Muslims. Muaz died, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah died. Many companions of the Prophet who were there get affected. And that was one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet said, Thumma, in the hadith of Ibn Malik al-Ashja'i, he says, U'udud sittan bayna yaday sa'ah. Is a count six things that will happen before the Day of Judgment. One of them is مُوتَانُ يَأْخُذُ فِيكُمْ كَقُعَاصِ الْغَنَمِ. He says the death that will be snatching you, you know, he said the disease, you know, that will be snatching you just like the way قُعَاصِ الْغَنَمِ is snatching them. قُعَاصِ الْغَنَمِ, they said, is a disease. When it affects one sheep, you see it, I think, bleeding from the nose, and then we keep killing them. You know, when it happens with one, then khalas, very contagious. Then they will just keep dying like that. And that's how that Ta'un was, you know, subhanAllah, taking the life of the believers by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever died at that time, if he's a good person, that was shahada, right? Wal mat'un, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that was shahada for him. Yeah, that was shahada for him. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal shared that information with everyone before death. Ibn Kathir says, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ الْآخَرِ لَا يَقُولَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشَاءَ فُلَانَ وَلَكِنْ لِيَقُلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ شَاءَ فُلَانَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, nobody should say مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشَاءَ فُلَانَ. If Allah SWT wants, and you want, and so on to want. Yeah, whoever says this, you should be mad. Yeah, because he is bringing you at the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be mad. Not to punch him, but tell him, please, you know, understand my level. I'm a creation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just say, MashaAllah, finished. Don't even bring me in. But if you insist to say my name, then say, Thumma, and then, so that you will make the mashia of that human being tabi'a li mashi'ati Allah azza wa jalla. Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ شَاءُ. We do have mashia, right? Do have mashia, do we have will? Yes. Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Not like the Jabriya who says we don't have will. That's why if you are strong in aqidah, it's good to read those books of Aqaid al-Ukhra. It gives some relief. Yeah, because you're going to see a lot of things. You know. Yeah, there are things, people in this life who don't agree that Allah knows that we're going to have a class today. I remember when I said that, no, those ones, are they even Muslims or not? And I was teaching the kids, the youngest one in the house, very young. When I mentioned that, they were not paying attention to the class. But when they hear this, they say, what? That is, well, I found it interesting. Even the aql of a small child couldn't comprehend how a person will say that Allah doesn't know that something. Yeah, some people. These are the Qadariya, Adam. Part of the Mu'tazila, they don't believe that, this class of ours, they don't believe. You know, now that I'm talking to you, according to them, Allah only knows that I will be talking to you when I talk. So useless, you know. And you have others also who are there on the other side. The Jabriya. Those ones, they said, actually, you have no control over your life. So now you are in the class, right? Why are you in the class? You will tell me, I don't know. How do you come to the class? I don't know. Alhamdulillah, you are in the class, right? The person who went to the church, can you blame him? No. Why? Because he doesn't have control over himself. Meaning, somebody can come and punch you. You tell him, why you punch me? Oh, I don't know. If you're smart, punch him back. And then tell him also, I don't know. And you have our friends. Those who went beyond thinking of anyone. Superstar here, the one that says, they don't even agree that they do exist. And he doesn't believe that he is there, you know. How do you deal with this entity? You know? This dua, right? If I'm in the government, I wake him up. He will not wake him up. I will put him in a place where he will tell me, yeah, he does exist. How about me? Yes, you also exist. SubhanAllah. You Allah. If you're rooted in the Aqidah, and my condition is, you already know what is the Aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, you have the belief, you have the faith, then read those ones. It will help you, you know, from time to time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You Allah. Being part of the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, wallahi, it's a great ni'mah. Being part of the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is a great ni'mah. Following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the understanding of those predecessors, is the easiest life. Very easy life. Very simple life. And easy. And nobody can tell you you're wrong. No one. Yeah, because whoever tells you you're wrong, just tell him, this is what Abu Bakr was doing, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing, I'm happy to be wrong. And then close the page. Yeah, why do you need to fight with somebody who... It's like this. This is Jahil al-Murakkab. Get it? Send him to school to learn. So you don't say, MashaAllah, wa sha'a fulan. And that's why, although some scholars said, it's okay somehow, but I really differ so much concerning this matter. When you are saved from an accident, and let's say Umar is the driver, you said, if not because of the smartness and the skills of Umar, longer we are in the grave. Ya Rajul, what happened to Rabbul Alameen, you know? And watch Umar, what he was doing. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. Ultafa ya Rabb. He was saying, Ya Allah, show mercy, right? And then after we finish, if not because of him, by now we are in the grave. So ask him. And he also, sorry Umar, he also might be smiling. Yeah, that's why it's wrong. Iwallah. It's wrong. Fi haqqillahi azza wa jalla is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you from a critical situation. And then you said because of some. Just say, Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala link us to so and so and so person. By the grace of Allah, we managed to be saved. So who is the one who get the fadl? Awwalan wa akhirah, Rabbul Alameen. But that person, Allah use him as a means for you to be saved. Otherwise, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, the doctors and everyone who is standing next to you, wallahi, no matter how much they try to save you, they will never be able to save you. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that for you. I know. That's why this poet is, this poetry is nice. He says, Mat al-Mudawi. Did you ever hear that? He said, Mat al-Mudawi. والمداوى والذي جلب الدواء وباعه ومن اشترى المداوي. The doctor died. والمداوى. The sick person died. والذي جلب الدواء. The one who went to bring the medicine also died. The one who sold that medicine also died. And the one who bought the medicine also died. That's Rabbul Alameen. That's why medicine always works if Allah wants it to work. So خالق السبب والمسبب أو مسبب is رب العالمين. So try to train yourself not to link a success to somebody. Always link it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. somebody has contributed to your success. Who made him like that? Rabbul Alameen. Who gave him ability to do that? Rabbul Alameen. Who let him think about you, not others? Rabbul Alameen. You Allah. Who gave him whatever he was giving you? Rabbul Alameen. And then at the end of the day, you call somebody else, not his name. It doesn't go. Yeah. So, masha'Allah, faqat. Or, masha'Allah, thumma sha'a fulan. If not because of Allah's intervention, and then he sent somebody to help me, we will definitely be in trouble, or we don't know where exactly we will be right now. So the Prophet said, لَا قُولَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَفُلَانٌ. Nobody should say مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ and so and so. وَلَكِنْ لِيَقُلْ. But he should say مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ شَاءَ فُلَانٌ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and then so and so person wants. So this is the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We do have a Mashi'a, but our Mashi'a is Tabi'ali Mashi'atullah Azza wa Jalla. Tahawi has a very nice statement. He says, وَمَشِيئَةُ اللَّهِ تَنْفُضُ لَا مَشِيئَةَ لِلْعِبَادِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ لَهُمْ فَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. The Mashi'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pass. And there is no Mashi'a for the slaves except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for them. فَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. He says, مَشِيئَتُنَا تَابِعَ لِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ. We have Mashi'a, but it is following the Mashi'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. If Allah doesn't want something, it will not happen. If Allah wants it, it will happen. Don't forget, we are not saying Allah loves it. Because the kingdom belongs to Allah, right? Salam. لَا يَكُنْ فِي مُلْكِهِ مَا لَا يُرِيدُ. The kingdom belongs to Allah, and as such, there is no way for something to happen in His kingdom without His permission. I mean, He let it happen, that's why it happens. Kufr, it is happening because Allah let it happen. If Allah doesn't want it to happen, wallahi, it will not happen. The murder, whatever some people are doing in this life, Allah let it happen. Not because He loves it, He hates it, that's why He tells those criminals not to go for this, but He is fa'alu lima yudid, the one who does whatever He wishes. So He created human beings and jinns as somebody who has free will to decide and execute. But He told us, do not do this and do not do that. Because if you do this, you do that, you will get in trouble with me. So whatever I did, I'm responsible. I cannot say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made me do it, and as such, I'm not responsible. No, I'm responsible. Nobody feels that somebody is pushing him to make the choice he's making. Yeah, we choose to do whatever we're doing. And as such, we'll be responsible on the Day of Judgment. That's the reason why Allah sent prophets and messengers. Yeah, because we do have a will. If we are just like robot, we don't have a will. What is the point of asking you to believe then? What is the point of asking you to pray? What is the point of threatening you? If you don't do, you will get into trouble. You don't do this with the robot because it goes according to the program, right? You program it and then it works like that. And we are not like this. Yeah? We are not like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Imam Ibn Kathir, he quoted a hadith which, inshallah, we have to go through this hadith because I have been mentioning this hadith to you from time to time. I don't think any one of you have ever had the time to go and check that hadith. And this is one of the most important hadith that you shouldn't miss in your life. And this is the hadith of Yahya ibn Zakariya. I'm pretty sure you might be hearing me saying a hadith of Yahya ibn Zakariya. So Ibn Kathir mentioned this hadith, you know, the collection of Imam Ahmad, which is authentic hadith, inshallah. So in the next class, do we have another class? Saturday, right? On Saturday, you want Saturday to be the last class because most of you, I am told, they're going to itikaf, right? Inshallah. So we can just close the classes by Saturday. Okay, because if nobody is coming here, then I also would not be coming. It's a good break for me also. Anyway, so inshallah on Saturday we'll come for this hadith. Bidinlah Azza wa Jal. If we manage to finish it, fabiha wa ni'mat, inshallah. I'll try my best to see if I can finish the whole thing within that 1 hour, inshallah. So come early to the class. Yeah, I will also try my best, inshallah, to be here on time. Where are you, Ustaz? On the way. Are you coming? Are you here? Are you? And then when I come, I found the cameras and the videos and everyone is here, right? Now. So inshallah, on Saturday, do come to the class early so that we will be able to finish this hadith, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, any question? We're still on our iftar, the last night, right? Okay. Please, the itikaf people, make sure that you come. Yeah. From the masjid to the sarau. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum, Rakatu Usman. Masood.
I was wondering, what's the best story in the Quran?
Huh?
The best story in the Quran?
All of them.
All of them? Okay. So it's not just one story?
This one is dead. Rahimahullah. Oh, that one is dead. So not this one. Okay. No problem. Somebody maybe should consider switching this off. You're asking about the best story in the Quran. All.
Okay.
You know. Which story in the Quran is not the best?
No, I was talking to someone and he mentioned that this story is better than this story. So I was wondering.
I know. That's wrong. Wrong approach. And if you say this one is the best, this one is better, these are the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's really wrong.
Okay.
We say this is the best thing if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this is the best thing. Mm. Other than that, these are kalamullahi azza wa jalla. Okay. Allah narrates a story for what? For lessons. You know, I might learn lessons from this story, but you read it, you don't get the lessons I'm getting. You read the other story, you get lessons, you know, a lot of lessons. I read it, I don't get those lessons, but you got it. So you will say, that one is the best. I will say, no, this one is the best. Yeah, my statement is useless and yours also is useless. Why? Because none of us is saying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is the best. You know, which surah is the best? Fatiha. Why? Because I read it, it has a lot of lessons. Okay, Surah Al-Baqarah doesn't have lessons like Surah Al-Fatiha. It does have more than Surah Al-Fatiha. Because it has 286 verses. Every single ayah has a lesson. Surah Al-Fatiha has only 7. Surah Al-Fatiha is the best. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's the best. And also we do understand from Surah Al-Fatiha is like the summary of the Book of Allah. Everything is there. But not because of this it is the best. It is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's the best. Okay. Ayatul Kursi is the best. Ayah. True? Yeah. Why? Why? Because it has names of Allah, you know. Kursi has been mentioned, you know. Then, Qul huwallahu ahad. From A to Z is this. That's Tawheed. Yeah. Why not this one? The whole surah is Tawheed, Tawheed. That's why they call it Surah Al-Ikhlas. They said it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it for himself only. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulid wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. No hukum of mu'amala or anything, just aqeedah, aqeedah, aqeedah. So why didn't we say this ayah, Allahu samad, is the best? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said ayatul kursi is the best. Other than that, we don't have a text, we say every story in the Quran is excellent. Which one is the best? All. Seriously, when somebody tells you, which I saw a book in my recent trip to Makkah, we're going to buy for our school. You know, The first thing I have comment on is this, the best stories in the Quran. So I asked the brothers, I said, which story is not the best? They say, yeah, that's... Yeah, because sometimes the authors, they just want a name that is so catchy, you know? When you hear the best stories in the Quran, like those other stories that you are neglecting, what are they? And also at the same time, you are sending a message that I shouldn't focus on these ones because they are not the best. They have less benefit, and this is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So a person should write a book called The Best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he narrates the story of Yusuf, he says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. From here we learned that every story in the Quran is the best story you can hear in your life. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِلْعِبْرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he finished, he said, in their stories, there are a lot of lessons for the people who reflect. And wallahi, trust me, if we are to listen, read the Quran carefully, and to understand it correctly, our life will never be like this. That's why I really invite you, when you read a story by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pay attention, focus so much, you know. You will learn a lot. A lot, a lot. It will summarize for you how to live in this dunya. And how to face challenges in life. Because every challenge you're going to be facing in this life, trust me, with no exaggeration, every challenge you're going to be facing in this life, there is a similar in the stories of the past, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly or indirectly referred you to them. And subhanAllah, this is Rabbul Alameen. If I come and I read the story, you know, it takes you very long, you know. One story can take days mentioning, because when I'm narrating, I go to talk about this. Sometimes we make jokes, sometimes this and that, you know. Allah doesn't do that. Yeah. The Quran, just read the Quran. Very straightforward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad. Allah wants you to understand a great lesson. He says, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad. Irama dhat al-imad. Allati lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad. The whole thing about Ad, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confined it for you in three lines, three ayat. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. One ayah, more than enough for them. And you understand who they are, how powerful they are. And from there you extract what kind of behavior those guys have. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. That's the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to understand, that those ones that تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. They never let anyone live in peace. They do whatever you can imagine of increase in terms of fasad. And what happened? Allah says, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. Yeah, that page is closed, you know. What else you want to know? You know, as a message to be sent to those arrogant people in this dunya of ours. Because no matter how much arrogant you are, wallah, you never reach those ones. They're so powerful, so big, so huge, you know, in terms of power. They themselves, when they look at themselves, what did they say? مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. Nobody is stronger than us. But where are they? Finished. Yeah. Finished. So that's it. If you go to the stories of the Quran, you know, in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَفِي مُوسَىٰ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ فَتَوَلَّى بِرُكْنِهِ وَقَالَ سَحِيرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونٌ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. Story of Musa and Fir'aun finished in three ayats. Kind of, that's why the Arabs, the old one, when they hear this, sometimes they make sujood, you know. Because he knows that nobody can put things like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. There was a discussion that happened between Yusuf and his siblings. Only Allah knows, you know, how much they have been trying to convince him. Yusuf doesn't want to get convinced. You know, Allah did not tell us about that discussion for a second. He just say, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. This choice of word, you know, to choose this word is enough to tell you that there has been a heavy discussion between, because he says, اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ. Even the choice of the word to use this word, اسْتَيْأَسُوا. They say one of the Bedouins made sujood. He said, this cannot be the word of human being. to have a sentence like this. You know? So, but unfortunately, we don't pay attention and focus that much. That's why our life is still the same. You get it? Allah says, "Inna fi dhalika la ayah," and He narrates a story. The whole story is just about half a page or less. And then He says, "There is a great lesson for anyone who is willing to benefit." Unfortunately, wa ma kana aktharuhum mu'minun. The vast majority of the people are not willing to change. Wa inna rabbaka lahu al-azizu al-rahim. Every story, Allah will finish it with this. In that surah. But who is reflecting? Nobody. So I'll close this with a statement of a poet. He says, وَمَنْ وَعَ التَّارِيخَ فِي صَدْرِهِ أَضَافَ أَعْمَارًا إِلَى عُمُرِهِ. If you manage to accommodate and understand history properly, you will be adding, you know, to your age more ages. You get it? I followed the long way to reach a place. I suffer so much. The people who came after me, they are not supposed to use this way of mine. Because I have already did the experiment for them, and they already know the result. They just go straight forward. Yeah, that's the meaning of history. I read history to understand life. So my life will be easier. Because I learn from the experiences of others. But the Ummah of Muhammad is not doing this. Allah make us the last one so that we can learn from the experiences of others, but we don't. You get it? So which story is the best story in the Quran? All. Alhamdulillah. Hamad, I think open that icon. Let me shout. I think we are punishing others. Just switch it on.
The magnet back here.
Yeah. That one. I think if you're suffering, maybe the back one also you can switch it. I can shout it, inshallah.
Zareen asks, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Asanu ilayka fi dunya wal akhirah. Sheikh, hal qiyam al layl yakun bil salati faqat. أم يكون بقراءة القرآن وذكر أيضا.
They call it قيام الليل. قيام. What is it? I know I understand the question, but I'm just saying the name of the thing is قيام. What is قيام? So if I just sit down, I read the Quran. What do you call it? جلوس الليل. Anyway, a person will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for just sitting down to read Quran. But Qiyam al-Layl, when it is mentioned, is referring to the prayers. You know. Man qama Ramadana, you know. So Qiyam al-Layl is referring to praying. But somebody already prayed after Isha, immediately. Did he do the Qiyam al-Layl? Yes. Because Qiyam al-Layl is from after Isha until Fajr. That's the Qiyam al-Layl. So what to do? Read Quran. That's nurun ala nur, khairun khair. Yeah. Nobody says that the one who is praying is better than him. He already did the prayer.
I have a question. Let's say a baby, they have no digestive system, so they have no stomach, no intestines. So when the mother gives birth to this baby, the baby will starve to death and die in one day. And let's say if this baby is given birth, it will also kill the mother. Do we still have to say the mother must give birth to this baby?
Yeah.
Really? But we know both will die.
We don't know.
It has no stomach, it cannot eat.
No problem, we just let him come and die.
Okay.
When we let him come anyway, we are going to kill him, right?
But the mother will die as well.
No, we don't know. Nobody can tell you that this person has to die. That's good. I met a Bedouin who told me that there was a sister who gave birth to a child after death. She dies, confirmed by the medical doctor she died, and the baby comes out after that. Rabbul Alameen, you know. He decides, not us. So to say that she will die, she has to die, she's supposed to die, that's kadhib. Wallahi, that's kadhib. That's a lie. That's arrogance that is placed not in the right way. My son, they told me that he will, we just want to let you know. We are just waiting for any moment for him to die. There is no way for him. These are the words. They said there is nothing in this boy that can support his life. So we just want you to know, cannot survive. Whatever can support a life, this person likes it. I remember my word to that that person. I said, inshallah, he won't. He said, we will try our best, but we just want you to know, to prepare yourself. There's no way for him to live. He passed away, but he lived for 12 years after that. Yeah, Rabbul Alameen, how can somebody come and tell me that this person has to die? How does he know? Show me the list that he got from the angel of death that the name of this person is included. How does he know? The poet says, مَا بَيْنَ غَمْضَةِ عَيْنٍ وَانْتِبَاهَتِهَا يُغَيِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَالٍ لَحَالٍ. Within the blink of an eye, Allah SWT can change everything. Person should have tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why all of these things, you know, I hear them, I say, no problem. I took some of my family to the hospital for surgery. They did around 3 of them. You can say almost all of them is a failure. The last one, when I heard it, I cried. Because the doctor told me that there is no way for them to be cured. He kept quiet. And guess what? In a village, in one of the sophisticated places, you know, we lost hope. But subhanAllah, in us, we never lose hope. Always believe that that is a way. And where did we get the solution to this? The surgery was made in a village where even the electricity they don't have, and free of charge, and the case was closed. What happened to that person who told us there is no way for them to? Yeah, he doesn't have, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own way. So that's why whatever I hear from the medical doctors, I just say, yeah, inshallah, you have yours, Allah has his. Yeah. That's the reason why I always say that we don't need medical doctors. Yeah, we want somebody who is, well-mannered, a religious person who will study the medicine and not come and contradict Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. That's what we need. Somebody who reflects, who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when prescribing the medicine. Yeah. Not those who we know. No, it has to be like that. If not, then this. What is this? Yeah, we have gone through a lot of things which are more than enough for us to know that the one who is in control is Rabbul Alim. So my job is to do the correct thing. That's it. The rest is Allah's job. So this baby, they said he doesn't have this and that. You know? Yeah, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does everything. How do I know? Maybe he is like the Ibn al-Ukhtubut. I was listening to a story. You know Ukhtubut? Octopus. You know, octopus has so many chains, right? So many legs, you know? I don't know what is that, but... Yeah. The scanners shows the baby in the womb like an octopus. They told her that she's going to be given birth. And they insist, and the husband insisted, and the family also insisted, we don't want to have an octopus as one of our descendants, you know. And the mother refused, you know. I hope that story is true. They said it's true, Allahu Alam, but at the end of the day, she gave birth to, I think, twins or 3 children. They said they were just like that. They mixed and the doctor thinks that this is octopus, you know. Yeah, nice, you know. Even this one, who knows? He doesn't have. How can you be sure that 100% he doesn't have, you know? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do everything. So our job is to let him come. We do everything possible to save his life, if that is possible. If he dies, we try our best. No blame on anyone. We let the mother. If she dies, that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned for her. We do our best to save both. That's how it is. Save the mother and save the child. If we manage to save the mother and the child came out dead, just say alhamdulillah. Ala kulli hal. If let's say both of them died, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. But there's nothing we can do. May Allah grant us good. Okay, any last word?
Yeah, two more questions. The first question by Brother Shazin. What is the ruling on grooming the beard, not shaving or trimming it? If I am not allowed to or supposed to grow the beard by leaving it untouched or by growing it in the length of a fist in the field which I am intending to work for?
What does he do with the beard? He modify it?
Groom it.
What is that?
He like takes care of it, puts oil. How? Or combs it.
No, that's okay. That's fine. Why not?
There's another question from a sister. During Ramadan, the sister offered the Salat al-Asr around 5 p.m. and Salat al-Maghrib around 6:45 p.m. with one wudu, and shortly after breaking the fast and offering Salah, she saw menstrual blood, but she does not know whether her period began before Maghrib or after. So does she have to make up the fast of that day?
Why? She saw it when? After Maghrib.
After Maghrib.
Yeah.
But she's not sure if it came before Maghrib or after Maghrib.
When did she see it?
She saw it after Maghrib.
Okay. So what? Why is she going back to think that yes, it came? But she doesn't feel it. She doesn't see any sign. She doesn't feel it. Yeah. If she wants to fast another day again, that's up to her, but I don't see justification for this. If she wants to do it because she wants to remove the doubt, that's, inshallah, fine. But at the same time, she might be opening another door of doubt. You know.
Question from Umar Rayyan. Assalamu alaikum. ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ أحسن الله عليكم في الدنيا الآخرة Is it okay to not take modern medical tests and treatment and instead rely on tib al-nabawi and prevention? I have a lot of mistrust for the medical industry from experience and also my profession as a healthcare professional. I am just worried by not using modern medicine, it's not using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted of ilm in healthcare.
I know, modern medicine is okay, a person to take it, inshallah, it's fine. Yeah, but if you are to ask me which one is the best, of course, what Allah SWT tells you is the best. And I'm pretty sure if you, train yourself to focus more on the modern medicine, especially honey, you know, from time to time, be taking the correct one, either like Allah, the immune system in you will be very strong. Yeah. Trust me. You will reduce the amount of the visit to the hospital. Get it? You will reduce the amount of the visit to the hospital. So I advise to combine both and focus more on the Tibb al-Nabawi. However, when it is critical, go and visit the doctor. And take the advice they give you, as long as what they're giving you is halal, take it. It's part of also the medicine. You know, honey is not the only medicine. You might use honey, it doesn't work. You might use black seed, it doesn't work. You might use the cupping, you might use all of those. But they give you another thing, it works. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not advising people to always go for honey. Sometimes cupping, sometimes laban of bakar, sometimes urine of camel, different things. That means we have different medicine, right? So put the modern medicine also one of them, but be very careful because almost all of them have side effects. You know, they give you what you want and take from you also a lot. So if it is not necessary, don't go. That's why I say train yourself to minimize your visit to the hospital. Yeah. So I will advise you with something which you will not do, but flu and this is... simple headache that comes to your life, you know, you always go to the hospital, just a simple thing goes, and then you go and take those medicine. I'm not having a single doubt that you are making the system in you weak. you know. Yeah, those one that comes, this is part of our life, you know. They come and go. How long does the flu stay usually?
1 week.
Two, the maximum is 3 days, you know. I met a brother, a very normal person. He said, I don't go to the hospital for flu because I already know when is it going to finish. It's very good way of life, you know. So, Murayan, I advise you not to keep it away completely, but to focus more on the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving medicine. However, if the situation is critical and it's affecting your ibadah, your life, I will advise you to go and visit the medical doctor and take it as part of the medicine that Allah SWT put in this life. Mm.
The next question, Sheikh. During i'tikaf, is it better to memorize Quran or do tilawah?
Memorize Quran. And do tilawah sometimes. Let's start with the memorization. During the i'tikaf, if you used to memorize one page during the i'tikaf, make it 5 pages. You know. One juzu. That's not possible. It is.
It's possible. Memorize one juzu.
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah.
Pages.
No, 10 days, one day.
One day?
Yeah.
It's not possible.
No, it is.
Had someone memorized the whole Quran in 1 month?
It's okay.
Have you seen it before?
No, I did not see, but it's possible. Possible. Just say it's possible. Adam, just leave the door open.
Adam will be the person.
Yeah, it is possible. Yeah, kids do a better job. Yeah, but you don't imagine they do. And they can memorize one juz, if not more. Yeah, it's just a question is, do they have a plan? For instance, one of the plan that I came across, they do back there. One of my children is attending this. They start with 5 pages, just to test, and he bring them. And the plan now is to go for one juzu. He's in Surah Al-A'raf right now. They want him within a week after Ramadan to be done. From A'raf to Baqarah. A week after Ramadan, they want him to reach Ramadan with Baqarah only. And they give him a week to be done with maximum everything. Yeah, but they have a system of following up. Yeah, because memorization could be done, but how to keep that memorization, yeah, it's another job. So you have a lot of method that scholars are using to help a person to memorize Quran. So this is one of them. Memorize first and then come to heavy revision. After that, yes, for children, yeah, that's really work. For adults like Adam, 60 plus, you know, yeah, I will tell him do a bit by bit. Yeah. But even you, Adam, if you are to go for that, I will tell you not less than, if you go for itikaf, not less than 5 pages every day. Memorization, good memorization. So in those 10 days, 5 times, that's 50 pages, right? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Almost 3 years old, you know. Yeah. It's highly possible, you know. I have a student from Bangladesh long ago. That was the first girl to memorize Quran in our school. And subhanAllah, two of them, one from the UK, but originally I think they're from Pakistan. Yeah. And he did not manage to make it, but moving forward. But she did, you know, and one of the breaks, 9 days, she came to me with 4 juzu, 9 days. Yeah, I also thought she was joking, but then I know it's possible, but looking at the student these days, she said, yeah, I did. I said, okay, read. And she read, just like that. Yeah, so it's all about convincing yourself that you can do it, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will, inshallah. So, Adam, inshallah, by the end of Ramadan, half is Adam, inshallah.
I heard a story that of someone running a Quran school, and when a boy came to him, after 1 week, he had memorized the Quran, he thought he was jinn. So when you told me that someone can memorize one juz, it's really, really possible.
There are some people, you know, people are different. There are some people who naturally are like that. You see, he will open this book, he read it once. Inshallah, if you ask him about anything in this book, he can tell you. He might not be able to read it to the end, but you ask him about anything in this book, he'll tell you, yes, I got it. In this place, he said this, he said that. Yeah. These type of people are few. In the past, we have them a lot. You say between Asr between Dhuhr and Asr, he finished Sahih Bukhari. Finished. You tell them this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, he tell you, no. And you go and check. Yeah, we have our scholars, subhanAllah. We met some people like that. You know, Sheikh Mukhtar, subhanAllah, is like jinn. That's why whenever you happen to be his supervisee, you really need to pay attention and be careful. He hates you, seeing you using the subtweights, like Mashamila, like a Durar, to get information. You can't. You have to go manually to the books. One of the students went. He got the information from those soft books, you know. So he wrote in his research that this page, Sheikh so and so talk about this matter. SubhanAllah, to his surprise, Sheikh told him, where do you get this? He said, Sheikh, I got it from the book of Sheikh and so. He says, no. Because Sheikh so and so did not talk about this matter in this volume that you're talking about. This one doesn't exist. So the student just smiled. Yeah, because he knows where he got it. Those one you cannot cheat. You tell them page so and so, they will tell you no, that is not. Yeah. So brain differs because nowadays we depend so much on technology. That's why the brain is weak. Otherwise, the capacity of your brain is much greater than what you see you having. They said the closer to the city you are, the weaker your brain is. Nowadays you have this. Yeah? Mazin, bring even this. That one is not enough. This one is not enough. I'm recording. Mazin is recording. That one also is doing. Some people also are recording, and he has also another one. Oh, today he forgot. Should I switch it on for you? Okay. Yeah. In the past, they don't have this. Just his brain. You know, just his brain. That's why they said a person will come and a woman will read 100 lines of poetry to her boy, son, and ask him to repeat, and he will repeat them. Now, 3 lines, and still the ustaz has to call the father and tell him, please tell your son to memorize, you know. Somebody came and recited his poetry, new thing. Abdullah ibn Abbas asked him, what do you have new? He said, I have this. And he narrated that poetry, long share. Abdullah ibn Abbas was enjoying. Somebody told him, you pay attention to these useless things. He said, no, it's not useless. It's very good poetry. It has a lot of meaning. He said, you even remember? He said, yeah, I memorized whatever he said. This is the first time. He asked him, do you have any new poetry that you make? He said, yes. He said, which one? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I memorized everything he said. He said, please say it. He mentioned from A to Z. No mistake. Yeah. And also add to that, they are too much away from sin. Nowadays, up, down, side, wherever you go, just Allahumma taqabbal. Get it? So, alhamdulillah, we try our best not to be to yourself. That's why I will conclude this with this advice to all of you. Write and take note. Okay, that's better than depending on recordings. Take note, okay? And whatever note you take, right after you go home, sit and revise and memorize it. That note should only be referred to when it is really crucial and necessary. Not what we're doing. Now we have the people who are taking the note, but they keep it. Next time also take notes, so it becomes the new book to be added to the library. Yeah, when you ask them, they have to go back to that note first to see what exactly he said. So what is the point of writing? Writing is there so that you will not miss what is mentioned in the class. But the best way for knowledge is right after you go home, revise and make sure you memorize everything. And the note will be just a reference in case in the future you have some doubt. Then you go back to the note to check and see whether you're right or wrong. You know. Okay, finish? Oh, that's it. Okay, thank you very much. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. See you on Saturday, inshallah. Salam.